If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
Five to shoot. Sets the ball. To the elbow. Got it!
Woo-hoo! Big time onions!
Carolina, timeout.
North Carolina pull out a miracle here at the end. The lob to Nance. Got the shot away. And it goes!
All right, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I am your host, Jacob Reimer. We got a lot of college basketball to dive into today. Big weekends with college basketball, massive slates with ranked matchups. That was last weekend. Got to dissect that a little bit. Right around Christmas time, almost the new year, getting ready to start conference play. Non-conference is coming to an end, and we have all those early season blockbusters between non-conference games. So let's go ahead and get started. North Carolina, you know them, my Tar Heels, started out number one team in the country. They dropped four in a row, and everyone's taking all their frauds. I'm trying to hang on to any bit that I have of them, any hope. It's early. Games only matter in March, as we saw last year with this team. And they just needed to find, they needed to get home, get some rhythm, go into their last two games, Ohio State and Michigan, with momentum, and get two resume building wins right now. Because right now they're back to the Bubble Boys last year. And got two huge wins against Ohio State in Madison Square Garden and Michigan in Charlotte on Wednesday night. Beat Ohio State over the weekend in the CBS Sports Classic. And are they turning things around? Should everybody be concerned and wondering, oh, is this North Carolina team finally playing like the team that they were supposed to all season long? I generally think that their biggest problem was they were still trying to figure themselves out. It's basically the same team as last year, but there's still a lot of egos with all these awards, preseason awards for these guys. You bring in Pete Nance, he's trying to fill that Brady Manick role and trying to figure some things out. And then you go on this big, long road trip. Like, they hadn't been in Chapel Hill in a couple weeks. They had the PK85 Phil Knight Invitational over Thanksgiving break, and then went, and that's all the way in Portland, Oregon, all the way across the country. Then you have to go to Indiana to play ACC Big Ten Challenge at Indiana, packed assembly hall, very loud environment, and the travel there was long, coming back to towards the East Coast, not completely, still in the Midwest. And then go back to Chapel Hill for a couple days, have one practice in between their next game at Virginia Tech, which they drove to. So a lot of almost 3,000 miles traveled by this North Carolina team in a span of like 2 weeks. They had not played a game at home. They had a whole week off for exams and everything, rest up, practice, because Baycott, he's been hurt. And now they got a big win at home. I think they destroyed the Citadel, and they beat Georgia Tech at home. So huge ACC win right there to get back. And then they go travel on the road again for the last two games for neutral site games against Ohio State and Michigan. And with the momentum they already had, rode with it. Got two huge wins against two quality opponents. Ohio State's going to be one of the best teams in the Big Ten. Michigan's going to be middle of the pack, and with what they've got, they're a pretty good team. And North Carolina, they got two huge wins there. And now we're getting ready to transition into conference play and get that started up. So it's going to be a good test for them. But I think they are turning things around. They are playing true Carolina basketball. They're getting out in the fast break, getting those fast break points, hitting the bigs, running the floor in transition, hitting threes in transition, sharing the ball. The assist totals the past couple of games have been way up than what they were to start, and like their games against like Bama and who else did they play out there against Indiana. They only had like four assists against Indiana. So, like, it was a struggle there for a little bit because guys were just trying to get theirs. And now they had a full week off, got healthy. Baycott, he has been playing like the preseason All-American that he should have been playing like all season long. Had 28 against Ohio State in the win in overtime, and then had 26, just owned Hunter Dickinson on the inside against Michigan. So he's finally coming along, being the rebounding factor that he's always been. Caleb Love and RJ Davis are still hitting shots. Need a little bit more from Pete Nance to kind of fulfill that Brady Manick role. I know he's no Brady Manick. It's going to be tough to fill a guy of his shoes, but he's got to be more consistent for this North Carolina team. They also got Puff Johnson. I like to see when DeMarco Dunn gets healthy to provide a big spark for this team off the bench. And Tyler Nickel, I want to see him get a little bit more playing time because he's a good shooter. He's the all-time leading scorer in Virginia. Like, this guy can flat out score the ball. He's just got to get the right opportunity. So look for that with this North Carolina team. The ACC, it's not what it normally is still. There's a lot of bad teams. Louisville, Florida State, two shockingly bad teams there in the conference. But, I mean, Duke just lost to Wake Forest, and on the same night, Virginia lost to Miami. So this conference is still gettable. Like, they can go on a huge win streak here. Like, they're building one right now. And they got Virginia here in a couple weeks at Virginia. I know they got at Louisville, but Louisville's bad. So it should be an easy win there for them. But, NC State's good. They got good guard play. Miami, they're a tough out. Virginia Tech, they lost to Virginia Tech a couple weeks ago. So it's up for grabs. And North Carolina, they can still run the table as they're finding themselves now, coming back down to earth and trying to ride a lot of momentum against some of these teams that they are definitely better than. They're playing through Armando Baycott, and that's what I love. That's what they should have been doing all season long, doing high pick and roll action, getting a big out on a guard, the guard then on Baycott, and you have a mismatch. Or Baycott is owning the tough bigs that they've gone up against. And, like, I guess Hunter Dickinson just dominated him on the inside, dominated Zed Key, Felix Akpara, and against Ohio State. So Baycott, he had been hurt, shoulder injury, ankle injury. He had a whole week off to get healthy, and he's healthy now. Look what he's doing. Look at the numbers he's putting up. He's going to be a tough man to stop down low in the ACC. Caleb Love and RJ Davis, they're tough matchups on the perimeter, as usual. Can do just about anything. There's not many guards. There's teams that have one guard that can guard one of them, but there's not a lot of teams that have two. You can throw out Virginia in there for sure. Kihei Clark's a good defensive player. Reese Beckman's a good defensive player, but they're going to need some other guys to step up in that game, 100%. But they're getting back to true Carolina basketball. I was worried losing four games in a row. I was pounding that panic button. But I realized you win games in March. This team, yeah, they're right on the bubble right now, early in December or late in December, early season. But you win games in March. Yes, we can push the panic button. Like, what the heck is going on? This team is the number one team in the country, returning everybody. It should not be like this. And here we are. They're finding momentum, getting into conference play. March is going to be here before we know it. And you win the games in March. That's when it truly matters, as we saw last year. So, yes, look out for this North Carolina basketball team. All right, so now we're going to talk about the Ohio State basketball team. Yes, they just fell against North Carolina in a heartbreaker. Overtime, they had the game won. They just collapsed down the stretch, and Carolina out-toughed them, turned up the pressure, and Ohio State couldn't handle it. That was also coming off of their huge thrilling win against Rutgers that may or may not have should have counted as a win. And it would be crazy if at the end of the Big Ten season, Ohio State like wins the Big Ten or something like that because of the Rutgers game, when a lot of people are saying that the shot should not have counted. But Tanner Holden hit a deep three as time expired against Rutgers. Ohio State holds on at home, beats them, goes and beats North or loses to North Carolina in overtime when they had the game won But there's still a lot of positives to take out of that game. We'll get that in a second. And then they just killed Maine on Wednesday night. They got one more non-conference game next week. And then on January 1st, they play at Northwestern to start Big Ten play up back again. Ohio State, they've got two freshmen that have taken on a huge role for this Ohio State team. And they are taking off with it. They are thriving. And it's a good thing to see because coming into the year, it was all, like, this team was such a mystery. Had no idea what to expect from this team, what they were going to do, what they were going to be. Were they going to be middle of the pack? Were they going to be potential second weekend team in the NCAA tournament? Or were they just going to be bad because so many guys coming in, haven't played with each other, trying to figure each other out. A lot of freshmen, a lot of hype around this freshman class. And with the experience that they were bringing in through the transfer portal, with what they were bringing back, said Key Justice Suing, Eugene Brown, who hasn't played yet, but he's getting there. You kind of knew, like, yeah, you're not going to have an EJ Liddell or a Malachi Branham on this team, but one of these freshmen are going to have to step up and be able to score. Well, there are two freshmen that are just playing out of their mind right now. Bruce Thornton, the starting point guard, has probably been the most consistent Buckeye so far this year. Just in the past couple games, he's had at least five of everything. He's averaging 10 a game. He's getting over 6 rebounds, over 5 assists a game. And he's just a great facilitator, great floor general, tough little nugget, dude. Like, this guy is very tough. Like, you look at him, he looks like a linebacker, looks like a fullback, whatever you want to give him a comparison to the Ohio State football team. He can definitely suit up there on Saturdays for this Ohio State team for how tough he is. He doesn't turn the ball over, knock on wood. He hasn't down the stretch in some of these big games. He's played really well. He played really well in Maui, played really well against Duke, and played really well against North Carolina. Like, he is a true point guard, and that's something Ohio State hasn't had in a while. If Holtman can trust Thornton with the ball in his hands late in the game, that is going to be huge for them when they get into Big Ten play and into March with the NCAA tournament. Bryce Sensabaugh, another freshman. This guy, leading scorer for the Buckeyes right now, is a freshman. He's averaging a little over 14 a game, maybe 15 now. Just had 19 against Maine, led them in scoring again. But against North Carolina was when everybody's eyes turned, and it brought up the awareness, like, man, this guy might just be here for 1 year. He might be one of them ones, like Malachi Branham was last year. Because he is truly a very gifted scorer. He had 22 against North Carolina, going against maybe the best on-ball defender in all of college basketball, Leaky Black, a fifth-year senior. You heard at the beginning in the intro with how crazy that game was. Sensabaugh drove to his left, got to his spot, did the same exact drive that he did against Rutgers. Holtman again here put the ball in the freshman's hands when they were down one against Rutgers before the shot happened. It was supposed to be Sensabaugh. Drove to his left, stopped, pump fake, and then tried to do a little floater over the Rutgers center, and his shot got blocked. Leaky Black, another long, lanky defender. He's not a center, but Bryce Sensabaugh drove to his left, got to his spot, stopped, and then just rose and kind of faded away to not let Leaky Black block the shot. And it was automatic. He did that shot, or did that turnaround jumper with going to his left and then pulling up or going over his right shoulder, doing a fadeaway jump shot many times against North Carolina while Leaky Black was guarding him, and capitalized. Made, like, they were tough shots, and he made them. You're just like, man, this dude is special. He is a really gifted scorer. I don't know if you guys saw in the offseason the article I wrote about him in the Kingdom League. He dropped 50. Like, this guy can really score the ball. Leading scorer for Ohio State right now. He was coming off the bench and averaging like 17 a game. Had a bad game against Duke, and that was his first, like, true test. And he was singled out by Duke. Like, yeah, we're not going to let this guy beat us, because he's their best scorer. We're going to be tough with him, give him that freshman treatment. Like, oh, okay, yeah, I got to figure some things out. And he has figured some things out, because Duke doesn't have a really good defender like North Carolina does with Leaky Black, and or what Rutgers has with the reigning defensive player of the year in the Big Ten and Caleb McConnell, and still gave Rutgers buckets. He still gave North Carolina buckets. I went for a career high 22 against fifth year senior and best on ball defender Leaky Black. That's very impressive. And the bright lights of Madison Square Garden. Sensabaugh and Thornton did not shy away, and they played tremendous for this Ohio State basketball team against Ohio State, the penultimate blue blood. Like, they have a very bright future. It's scaring me now for how good they're playing against these good programs, these elite programs, and that, like, yeah, they may be gone after this year. And who knows, with the transfer portal, with NIL, like, they could be transferring out anyways to go somewhere bigger. But there's also the option, like, yeah, throughout the season, they continue to put up ridiculous numbers. Draft stock continues to rise, just like Malachi Branham last year. But these guys should also see, like, what happened with Malachi Branham. Yeah, this class may not be as good as what last year's was, but should also see what's going on with Malachi Branham right now. Like, he's hardly getting any minutes with the Spurs. So come back another year, get experienced, develop yourself a little more, with another really good class coming in at Ohio State, and develop and go win and continue to build your draft stock that way. And then go when you're potentially a top 10 pick, a top 10 lock. And I'm getting nervous about that with Bryce Sensabaugh, because yeah, you got NIL, but you've seen a lot of these football guys, top rated recruits, that have left because of NIL. They're not getting enough money. Where I'm starting to worry with some of these guys at Ohio State that may not, it may be the same thing. So we'll see. I'm not truly worried yet. It's only December, but the way Sensabaugh and Thornton have been playing, it does cause you to raise the eyebrow a little bit there. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, this Ohio State team, they're fun to watch. I have high hopes for this team. I think. So they do have some flaws. Yes, they struggled to handle pressure against North Carolina when North Carolina started pressuring. Also, it's been a reoccurring theme for this Ohio State basketball team under Chris Holtmann. They've always struggled to rebound, and that's going to hurt them here in the Big Ten. They got worked by Armando Bacot and Pete Nance. They could not get a rebound over those two guys. It helps having Felix Okpara, but he's long, but he's skinny, and he's a freshman. Going against a Zach Edey here on January 5th? Zed Key, he's long, but Zach Edey's got like 6 inches on him. Like, it's scary. You got Zach Edey, you got Trace Jackson Davis, who he's not as tall. He's slightly taller than Zed Key, but he's a lot quicker than Zed Key. And we saw that last year. Trace Jackson Davis just gave them the work last year. You also have Hunter Dickinson. You got Malik Hall from Michigan State. There's so many good bigs. Tyler Wall from Wisconsin, Chris Murray from Iowa. There's so many good bigs in the Big Ten, like there always has been. And Ohio State doesn't have the size that they need to match up with these guys, because rebounding has to become a priority. They need to look, we're going to get into this in a second, but you need to look at what Kansas does. They just immediately throw a double from across side and then just help and take away the big with the rebounding. You got to be able to control the boards and rebound and not give up many second chance opportunities, because on the road in the Big Ten and you give up an offensive rebound and then a score or like a kickback out for a three, then off the offensive rebound, that gets the crowd going a little bit. So that's definitely a huge flaw for Ohio State right now, and they got to figure that out. We're about to start the new year, about to start Big Ten play up again, but I'm still confident for this team. I think this is the year that Holtmann breaks the curse with this Ohio State basketball team. I think they're getting to the Sweet 16. I'm very confident in saying that with the weapons they have. Like, I'm saying this, and I haven't even mentioned Justice Suing's name. You got Bryce Sensabaugh, who's a really gifted scorer. Bruce Thornton, great point guard. Guards win you games in March. He's just do-it-all type of guy. He makes tough shots. You got Tanner Holden coming off the bench. You got Sean McNeil, who is a very good shooter. Zed Key is expanding his game, can shoot the rock and just battle with anybody on the inside because of his physicality and his long arms. You got, I'd said, Tanner Holden coming off the bench, Ice Likely when he returns. You got Eugene Brown when he's able to return. So this team is deep. They are more than capable of making a run in the NCAA tournament. This is depending on matchups, who they get in the NCAA tournament. Yes, I know we're about to start January, but I'm still very confident that this team can run the table in the Big Ten and get to the NCAA tournament and make a run in the NCAA tournament as well. Do not look away from this Ohio State basketball team, because blink of an eye, they're going to be right there in the mix of it, everything, just like they are every year. Let's go. I love this Ohio State talk. So now we got a team that played really well, and they've been playing really well against tough teams. The Kansas Jayhawks, could they do something that hasn't been done since 2006 and 2007 and be repeat national champions? I'll be honest, this team is definitely capable of going back-to-back. They got Hall of Fame coach with Bill Self and Jalen Wilson. He is one of the top players in the country. Like, he will probably be on the first team All-America team. This guy's tested the NBA waters every year at Kansas, and he's gone to just learn what he can do to improve his game. And he comes back to Kansas and does what he is told. He is a very, very good scorer. And with the previous teams, like, you're thinking, oh, this guy's just a glue guy. No, he is Kansas's best player. He can score the rock. He can create for others. Just get the rebound and go, and just rebound. Great defender as well. They also got one of the best freshmen in the country, Grady Dick. I think he's the best player in the country. A lot of people are going to say Brandon Miller from Alabama, who plays a lot like Kevin Durant, but Grady Dick, this guy, just one of the he's the best shooter, probably the best shooter in college basketball right now. He's got a very pretty jump shot, and he's definitely not afraid to just attack the rim. Like, he can do everything on the floor. He can defend. He can shoot. He can do it all. He's a great weapon to have when it comes to March and making a big-time shot. He made big plays against Duke early in the season. And early in the season, you got these freshmen that are trying to find themselves in the rotation, find themselves in college basketball, like where they position themselves at. And Grady Dick took it by storm, and he just took off and was making big plays down the stretch against Duke. And yeah, like, Duke's a good team. They're ranked. They got a really good class that are finally getting healthy. And you got Grady Dick coming in here, goes on like a 6-0 run himself against Duke and closes out the win. He made big time shots against Indiana, and they ended up blowing out Indiana. Trying to think of what else. I mean, they blew a lead against Wisconsin in the Battle for Atlantis. But I love this Kansas team. They've got great weapons. They've got great guard play with DeJuan Harris at the point. And the only thing, though, that they are missing is a true big. Like, last year's national championship team, they had David McCormick. Great rebounding big, rim protector, can score. They don't have that to defend the elite bigs. Like, in case they draw a Gonzaga in the Elite Eight, Drew Timmy. They draw a North Carolina in the Sweet 16, an Oscar Tshiebwe of Kentucky. So there's their flaws right there, is that they're going to struggle to rebound against these teams that have really good rebounding bigs. But one thing that I love that they did, and that I've seen them do multiple times already this season against a team that has a very talented big, is they will send a guy diagonal from the opposite side and go in double once the guy gets the ball in the post. They were doing that on Trace Jackson Davis against Indiana, and also Race Thompson for Indiana. And Race Thompson isn't no Trace Jackson Davis, but they were still doing it, and it was just so swarming and stifling that, like, they couldn't make that post-to-post pass because, yeah, that double comes. The help needs to be there, and sometimes it's late, and Trace or Jackson Davis or Thompson were wide open under the basket, but the long arms of Kansas wouldn't allow it. It wouldn't allow the pass to go through. And so it had to go back out to the perimeter, swinging around, defense rotates, and you're back to normal. So that's what I love. Like, I'm worried about them down the stretch, especially in the Big 12, having to deal with these bigs, and potentially into March, having to go up against a Zach Edey, a Armando Bacot, a Oscar Tshiebwe late in the tournament. And that's what gets them is the rebounding. But if they continue to do what they do right now on defense by doubling the post and making it go back out and swung back around, and they're doing a great job on help, I don't have any concerns or worries if I'm a Kansas Jayhawk fan. 100%. Like, this team, there's been a lot of questions like, oh man, can this team go back to back, be the first time since Florida? And it doesn't happen. This Kansas team absolutely can do that. Number four team in the country right now. They blow out everybody they play, basically. And Allen Fieldhouse is a tough place to play. Probably the toughest place to play in college basketball. And Kansas travels. No matter where they go in the NCAA tournament, it's always a packed house in that blue and red, screaming Rock Chalk Jayhawk. So Kansas is poised for another run this year with the weapons that they have. All right, so we're going to wrap up the show here on this cold Friday afternoon, right before Christmas. We're going to do a little NBA here. I'll give you my NBA Christmas picks. We got five games. Sixers at Knicks, Madison Square Garden. Lakers at Mavs. Bucks at Celtics. Grizzlies at Warriors, the most anticipated matchup there, but going to be without Steph. And then Suns and Nuggets is the nightcap. So we're going to get into this here to close out the show. Sixers, Knicks. I love the Knicks right now. I love Jalen Brunson. RJ Barrett's playing great. Like, they've got a really good defense, and they've got like smart basketball players with Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, Evan Fournier, RJ Barrett. They got shooters, Quentin Grimes, Evan Fournier, like I just mentioned. Quickly. So they've got what it takes, but they're playing well. They just had their first loss in their last nine games, I think. But I can't not go against James Harden and Joel Embiid. Like, nasty duo there. They will be without Tyrese Maxey. They do got Tobias Harris. Madison Square Garden, I just feel like I can't go against Joel Embiid. Like, there's not many teams, and the Knicks are one of them, that can't match up with Joel Embiid. So I'm going to go Sixers -4 in this game, taking the points there. Lakers, Mavs, the line right now is 4.5 in favor of the Mavs. Lakers without AD. Dallas is at home. Luka, I think they're mostly healthy. I think Christmas Day, it's LeBron. He's going to play well on Christmas. He always does. Lakers keep it close, but Mavs win. So I'm taking Mavs money line on this one. The odds may not be the greatest, but I think the Lakers maybe cover that 4.5, but it's going to be close, 100%. Very high scoring. Probably take the over on this one. I don't know what that is, but I like Mavs money line on this one. Bucks Celtics is probably going to be the best game of the day. If Giannis should be healthy, Middleton should be healthy. So you're going to get everybody's full squads, I think, except for maybe the Celtics might still be without Horford, and let me check. Okay, no, Horford's back. Smart is a game-time decision with an illness, but he'll play. Same with Robert Williams III. So you're probably going to get a fully healthy Bucks versus Celtics matchup. And the Celtics, well, it was 3, and now it's 4.5. But I'm still taking Celtics money line because Bucks are probably going to keep this one close.
I wouldn't be surprised with the talent of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the nasty combo that they got with the weapons around them. I wouldn't be surprised if they covered that 4.5, but I think the money line's a safe pick there. Grizzlies-Warriors, this is a biased pick for me just because I'm going Warriors money line. Not including on a parlay or anything because it's probably my scariest pick, but I do because, I mean, they just gave up 91 in the first half to the Nets, but they didn't have anybody. But they are getting everybody back except for Steph, so they're going to have Klay, they're going to have Wiggins, they're going to have Draymond, they're going to have Jordan Poole, they're going to have Looney. And you got Moses Moody, Kuminga, DiVincenzo coming off the bench, Wiseman coming off the bench. You just had 30 against the Nets. I think the Warriors can win this after their long road trip that they just had. Finally getting back home, had a couple days off. They're ready to rock and roll on Christmas in front of their home fans. You saw a couple years ago, the year that they were really bad, like worst in the league, they still got that Christmas Day game against the Rockets. And they ended up beating the Rockets. And the Rockets were a top four team in the West with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, Clint Capella, those kind of guys. And the Warriors upset them. So, like, that's why, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors won this, just because of that Christmas Day magic. And without Steph, they're back home, finally feeling comfortable and healthy. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors won, but the only thing that hurts them is that they don't have anybody to guard John Morant. This guy is just too shifty and too quick in the open floor. And they're getting healthy as well. Desmond Bane is going to be back for this game. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is back. So, almost fully healthy squads. Warriors still without Steph. But I like the Warriors. Warriors money line. And then the last game, Suns and Nuggets. Devin Booker, he's going to be out tonight's game, I think, against the Grizzlies. But he will be back for this game. Right now, the line's 2.5 in favor of the Nuggets. Nuggets, they are playing really well. The game I watched last night, or a couple nights ago, against the Grizzlies, Jokic is playing like MVP level again. They're the best team in the West record-wise right now. And Jamal Murray's healthy. Still without Michael Porter Jr., but Christian Brown, like, he's been playing really well as a good role player for this team. They got Aaron Gordon. I mean, so the weapons are definitely better for the Suns. Mile High City, though, I'm taking the Nuggets minus 2.5. So those are all my picks there. Sixers minus 4, Mavs money line, Celtics money line, Warriors money line, Nuggets minus 2.5. That could be a full fade if you want, but because it's scary that I'm taking all the favorites. But the favorites are also really good, and they're all mostly healthy. And I think just the situations that they're going to be in for these games, I think I like the odds of taking the favorites in this one. Close spreads, so it could go either way. But yeah, there's my Christmas Day picks. Big slate on Christmas Day as usual, and this is probably going to be one of the most fun slates that there is. A lot of big matchups, a lot of great players. Don't want to miss it. It's what I'll be doing all Christmas Day, is just sitting and watching basketball. So I hope you guys are enjoying this nice cold day in your homes. Give this podcast a listen. I hope you guys enjoyed. And last podcast here before Christmas. We'll see you after Christmas. I hope everybody has a very safe holidays and a Merry Christmas. So thanks again for tuning in. We will see you next time.